It's the 3rd of January. We are right on the threshold of a brand new year, and our hearts and prayers go out to each one in our local church family and in this community and beyond, all our listeners this morning. God bless you this year. And of course, here in Sussex, in England, we are effectively in a tier 4 or lockdown, and I'm on my own in the church this morning. We're back to live stream. Nevertheless, I know that many are connecting and tuning in this morning, so we sense that we are still in a unity of faith, and we're so thankful for the fellowship that we have as a local church. And I pray for each church that's represented by those who are listening this morning. And today, next Sunday, we will have, of course, the live stream again. And then at 3 o'clock our time, we will also have a live stream communion, which I will do from the church here for those that would like to. You're welcome to join us. So you'd need ahead of time to get your own elements, fruit of the vine, some juice, grape juice, and some wafers or unleavened bread, and have that ready. If you'd like to join with communion by faith with your brothers and sisters next Sunday, that'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So let's have a prayer, and let's go to the throne together. So, oh Father, we thank you for this, our first prayer together coming into this new year, our first time in the Word together as a church. And we pray you would quicken us, speak to us, bless us, minister to us. I pray for the youngest to the oldest, each family, each person, each young person, each elderly person listening this morning. Oh, bless them. Strengthen our hearts with faith. Refocus our lives this morning through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to speak this morning about the principle of faith and hope for a new year. Faith and hope for a new year. And hope is something that's so important in a person's life as we look to the future. And I read first from Job 14. It's a passage that I love this passage. Job 14, verse 7. For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender roots will not cease. Though its root may be old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. What an incredible picture that is, of a tree that has been cut down, and there is a stump in the ground, and the roots grow old. And it seems as if it's over. There's no life, no future. There is just a history lesson of some sort from that stump in the ground, and nothing more. You can have no hope for the future of that tree, it would seem. But this verse says that there is hope for a tree, that it may sprout again, that the tender shoots may come forth, that it will bring forth branches, and of course fruit and life and a future. The greatest example of this is a good one, a stump, a tree seeming to be dead with its dead root in the ground and then coming to life. But the greatest example of this, of course, is the resurrection. When Christ went into the tomb and it seemed as if it was over, and yet on the Sunday morning there was life that came forth. Or someone, you may attend a funeral and we see the body go into the grave. Oh, but the Bible speaks of a future resurrection. And in fact, in these verses in Job, he's alluding to these principles. He's addressing the reality of the brevity of life, the finality of life. And he speaks about this principle of hope in a resurrection. Verse 14, you know, he asks the question about man being raised from the dead. Now, but the message of hope is all the way through the Bible, that a believer can have hope in this life and in the next life. Hope is like a faith that is looking forwards. It's a faith that is trusting God for the future, believing God according to the promises. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a vague, weak idea of, oh, you know, if things work out, or if I'm lucky, or I hope this will happen. When we use that word in our everyday vernacular, it has a question mark in it. I hope it happens, but that's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is something that is sure and founded. There is a certainty, an immovable assurance that goes with the believer's hope. Why? Because our hope is connected to the promises of God, and they are sure. We need hope, don't we? In this world, this life sometimes is like a minefield. It's filled with booby traps, if you will, for disappointment. We stack all our hope in something, and then it crumbles. We are trusting someone, we hope it's going to work out, and then it fails, or they hurt us. And life sometimes can be filled with disappointment, frustration, regret, and hopelessness. But the Bible speaks about a hope that should be born and flourish in the heart of every Christian. In your heart this morning, and my heart, as we look ahead into 2021, a new year. The Hebrew word for hope is tikva. It's perhaps a word that rings a bell with you, because the Israel's national anthem is HaTikva, the hope. And their national anthem says, the lyrics are something like this from a poem back in 1817, which is interesting because it's before 1948, of course, before they were established in the land again. But it says, as long as deep in the heart the soul of a Jew yearns and looks forward to the east, to Zion, with a longing eye, our hope will not be lost. The hope of 2,000 years to be a free people in our land, the land of Zion and Jerusalem. So that hope is centered in the very heart and faith, national anthem, and expectation of every believing Jew. And that hope is according to promise. Should be according to promise. Tikva is commonly translated hope or expectation. For example, Psalm 71, for you are my hope, you are my tikva. Psalm 62:8, my soul waits silently for God alone. My expectation is from him, my tikva is from him. Jeremiah 29:11, I give you an expected end, tikva. Job 6:8, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, tikva. So we can see most commonly, hope and expectation is the way this word is translated. And the word tikva it literally means cord, or it comes from the root to bind. Why is that? It's because the hope of a believer is to be bound with the promise. It's that we would live in an expectancy, longing for a promised thing, something that's been promised. And therefore, my hope is bound to that. It's intertwined with the promise. So that's why the word comes from the root, a cord, to be bound to something. Hope is bound to the promise. Now, the first use of tikva in the Old Testament is in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, in the story of Rahab. I'll read you the verse in 2:18. It's when the spies say to her, when we come back to the land, judgment will not come to your house if you bind this line of scarlet cord. And that's the word tikva, cord. If you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And she sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord, the scarlet tikva, in the window. Cord. Again, other places, hope and expectation. But here it's translated cord. Why? Because there's a beautiful picture there, that this scarlet cord, if you will, goes all the way through the scriptures. It speaks of the promise and therefore the hope that God's people should have. And Rahab tied this scarlet cord, and based on that cord, she had hope in the promise of the spies that salvation would come to her house, that they had sworn to her, "We will deal kindly with you." And that word kindly is hesed. It's the covenant word that God spoken of between God and his people. Hesed, a loving kindness, a covenant love. And because of that love, you may have hope in the one who has made promises to you. For God is a promise, a covenant making God, a promise making God, but also a promise keeping God. And this scarlet cord, as we are students of the Bible, we see this thread or this cord, this scarlet line going all the way through the scriptures. The story of Rahab reminds us of Passover. As she tied the scarlet cord in the window, they were instructed to put the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost, that the angel of death would pass over them. And their hope in their salvation was to be in the blood that was applied. Her hope of salvation was to be in the scarlet cord. And we have a hope in our salvation, in our Savior, in the promises, not only beyond the grave, but in this life also. We have a hope, a living hope, that looks to the hand and the promises of God. Not a vague hope, not a wishful thinking, not a natural optimism, but a hope that is anchored, a hope that is bound to the promise, a hope that is certain, a hope that sees beyond the ashes. I love that phrase. I wrote that down. I thought, oh, that's a great expression, beyond the ashes, when everything seems to be final, that there is no answer, no remedy, no way out. I look to the horizon, and maybe it seems that there is so much uncertainty, so much confusion. There is no date on the timeline ahead. I look to the horizon and there is hopelessness, it seems. Oh, but beyond the ashes, beyond what I can see or understand, there is a reason for hope. We may feel that way in certain measure during this time, during this pandemic. There is so much uncertainty and fear in the air. When you speak to people, you sense it. But in the believer's life and heart, there can be a hope that rises up. The Bible testimony and history lays out Israel's plight when they found themselves in captivity in Babylon. Now imagine, if we've studied the history, you remember the promise through Abraham that they would be given the land, and then through the ages and all through their history, finally they came to the land after the wilderness wanderings. And then through the books of Judges and the Kings, there were the prophets and warned, and then finally they were ripped out of the land. And if you were a Jew in that time, you would have thought that all hope is dashed for Israel. Oh, it is over. We were given so much grace and opportunity, but God has ripped us out of the land and left us to the hand of our enemies. Oh, where is our hope? We could imagine that would certainly be the case. We see this in Ezekiel 37, and stay with me here. We're going to lead this to a wonderful conclusion. In Ezekiel 37, and of course this is the story famously known, the chapter famously known for the Valley of the Dry Bones in the prophet of Ezekiel. And he was a prophet relating to the captivity, and he was speaking in that context. And he says in verse 11, "Then he said to me," God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off." So God says to Ezekiel, this is what is in the heart of the people. They are saying, our hope, our tikva, is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Perhaps you know some people like that. Someone in your life who feels that their hope is lost. Life can certainly deal its cruel blows, can't it? People who look back over their life and they look forward in their life and they have just, there's pain and hurt. They put their trust and hope in people who failed them. perhaps, or in things or money or investments or whatever it might be. And then it all came to the ground, and now they are losing, or they have lost hope. And Israel said, our hope is lost. But listen, God had a plan. This is the wonderful thing about the nature of redemption, the promises of the Redeemer, that when everything seems lost and there is no hope by sight, there is no answer that we can see or fathom, and yet God says, listen, let hope rise in your hearts, for I have a plan. We remember at the beginning of that chapter, God brings Ezekiel in the vision to the valley. He takes him across the valley. He wants to show him how vast this valley is. It says the bones were very many and very dry. And he asks this incredible question in verse 3. Can these bones live? Or we could rephrase the question like this. Ezekiel, is there hope? Look at the bones. You see them, Ezekiel? Look as far as the eye can see. Can you see the end of the valley of dry bones? They are very dry and there are very many. Is there hope? Can these bones live? And of course, this was picturing Israel as a fallen army that had been slain and the bodies were in the battlefield and it seemed as though the battle was over, no victory in sight. And God says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Is there hope? They say our hope is lost in verse 11, but look what verse 12 says. Therefore prophesy to them, those who are saying there is no hope. Prophesy to them and say, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And as Ezekiel spoke, you know the passage perhaps, there was a noise, a rattling as the bones came together in the vision. They came together, they lived, and life went into them, and they stood on their feet an exceeding great army. And that was the prophecy that predicted that they would come back from captivity again, and that's what happened. They were brought back. Just as Jeremiah had promised, Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a tikvah. Oh, and these words, let them ring in our ears and rise in our hearts this morning, that God would say to you, listen, I give you a future and a hope. It's not over, it's not hopeless, but it's filled with hope because God is able and God has promised and God is faithful. Look at Jeremiah 31:16. In the B part, it says, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. Verse 17, there is hope in your future, says the Lord. Oh, well, I just want to say that this morning. There is hope in your future. Jeremiah 31:17. Write that down, highlight that, put it up on the fridge. Consider it, meditate it. Oh, what a wonderful promise. There is hope in your future, says the Lord. There is so much reason for hope as a believer. We understand in this world and through the things that can happen to us, we could say there is so much reason for disappointment, so much reason for hurt, so much reason to come low. And we would say, yes, we understand that. That is a cold reality, but doesn't dispel this truth, that in the heart of the believer, there is such reason for hope. There is such reason to have rejoicing in our heart, to have faith in our heart. For has not God promised? Has not God spoken to us? Hosea 2:15, another prophet. Oh, it's wonderful. It says, I give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And Achor means trouble. From the valley of trouble, I will give a door of tikvah. I will give a door of hope. And when we're walking through that valley of trouble, it will become a door of hope. It's mysterious, isn't it? It's wonderful, though, isn't it? There can be so much reason for someone to be brought down and brought low and think that that's the end. And yet that valley of trouble can become, that valley of weeping can become a place of hope and rejoicing. Again, in a pandemic, so much uncertainty, we say to one another, it would be one thing if we had a date on the calendar when we knew this would be over, but the weeks and the months roll by and we don't see the end. Yet we can have hope, a stability, a resting place. We are not to live in fear, but we are to have a faith rest in the promises. We are to have a hope that is anchored in the promises of God. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we can have hope. Even if someone is on their deathbed, a believer can have hope. Even at the very end of our life, when we are old and frail and we are breathing our last, oh, we can have hope. Isn't that amazing? We can say on our deathbed, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Why? Because there is a living hope that deserves a place in the heart of every believer, for God has promised. He has made promises to us all through our life and even beyond the grave. This is what is alluded to in 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," listen to this, "has begotten us again to a living" what? Living what? Anyone out there? "A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Listen. He has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Christ. Verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Hello, good morning, take a sip of coffee, wake up. What was that? "Reserved in heaven for you, a living hope through the resurrection." It's incredible, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that will not perish, that will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Is that enough grounds for hope, a living hope? It's interesting, whenever I attend or lead a funeral, and depending on whether the people are believers or not, oh, there is such a difference. The person who passed away, of course, were they a believer or not? Is the family that's attending, are they believers or not? Oh, the difference, such a difference. And of course, there's always a place for tears and mourning in both. Nevertheless, with Christians, there is a hope that rests in the heart, that we understand that this person is experiencing, as we are there with the casket and in the funeral together, that that person is experiencing what they've always hoped for, what the scriptures have laid out for them, that they are present with the Lord. Oh, if we could see that with the clarity that it deserves, oh, there would be such hope and expectation in our lives. Romans 8:23 says, "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit," that's you and I as Christians, "we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance." People see it in your life as a Christian. There is something that you have that cannot be found in any other way. A steadfast assurance of eternal life, of a relationship with God. Understanding that. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we should be ready to give an answer to all those who ask us of the hope that we have. And oh, we should pray for that. We should pray that people in our lives would ask us about the hope that is in our life, and we will be ready to give them an answer. We will say, oh, it's because of Jesus and who he is and what he did. He is the answer. He is the Savior, and there is no other. We were made to know God, and through Jesus that is possible, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we will share the gospel with them. Oh, put your faith in him. Job said, there is hope of a tree. The tree may be cut down. It may seem as though it's the end, but it can sprout again and the branches can come forth. Amen? Is there anybody out there? Hello? There is hope for a tree. Amen? That there is a hope in the heart of a believer. As we look forward into 2021, what is in our hearts? Fear? Uncertainty? No, there is a hope. There is a trust. There is a rest in our hearts. Because God is with us. God is faithful. God has promised. And Job here in these verses also has the resurrection in his mind as he is writing. Verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Again, Job considering the brevity of life, the finality of death, and the wonderful question of the resurrection. If a man dies, shall he live again? And the New Testament says with the loudest voice, yes, there is a resurrection. And the believer can have great hope in that, for we are resurrected unto life. And also in this life, the years that we may have left, perhaps by God's grace, we do not even know what tomorrow brings. But we understand that if we go through a trial, we can have hope. If we go through a difficult time, we may not know the answers, but we have hope, for we know that God has promised. God is faithful. God is able. God is with me. God loves me. And God does not break his promises. Hello? And therefore we can have hope. James says in 1:2, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that tribulation works patience. And Romans 5:3 says patience to hope, a hope that is in the heart of the believer. And where does hope come from? Comes from the promises, right? Comes from the word. This is why we must be people of the book, that there are many New Year's resolutions that people are making. Perhaps, oh, I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to go for a walk every day. I'm going to be in the gym every day. And all of that's wonderful. I'd like to do that, you know, also, of course. But what about being in the Word every day? What about having a faith new resolution? That I determine that I will build myself up in the Lord every day. I will develop my devotional life. I will get to know this book. And I understand there's much of it I don't know. But I want to be a disciple, a learner, a student. I want to have this book open in my life. And I will draw near to the Bible on the live stream if I have to, or in the church when I can. 2021 will be a year filled with faith and filled with hope. When I'm in the trial, I may begin to think, oh, I can't see the end of this. This is so difficult. But notice in Job 14, it says, yet at the scent of water. Isn't that interesting? At the scent of water. Just the scent is enough. And then the roots, the shoots, the life will find that resource, and the branches will come forth. And it's through the word and the promises we get the scent of water. It's through the word, you see it? Oh, the scent of water, the promises that God has spoken, that God is able, that God is sure. Many difficult things that life may bring our way, but then the scent of water, that's what we need. And I maybe feel discouraged, and Oh, God encourages me. I may feel there's no answer. Oh, but then there is God has a plan for me. God is with me. God can redeem this. God can turn all things together for the good. Oh, and at the scent of water, there is hope. And the shoots and the branches and the life comes back because of his promises and his great grace. Catch the scent of water. He redeems, he restores. He can bring something beautiful out of something that seemingly is finished. And there is just the ashes. But something beautiful can come from that. Perhaps in this last year or the years before, there was something that you lost. And there is a sense of loss. Maybe lost opportunities or lost years or lost loved one. And there's the question, oh, where do we go from here? There is a void and a disorientation. How do I go on? I feel like the root is drying up and I'm like a stump in the ground. And God says, listen, it's a new beginning. I am with you. I have a plan for you. There is hope that life is a wonderful opportunity for the believer, for us to draw near and get to know him. And not have a vague, distant idea, but to have a very close conviction and persuasion of his promises. I want to draw near. I want to find the scent. I want to have my nose in the air, and I want to find the scent and have my heart filled with hope. Listen, this is going to be a great year. Not because of our New Year's resolutions, as wonderful and as noble as they may be, but because of his promises, not because of our willpower, our strength, or our optimism, but because of his promises. Because he is faithful, therefore I have hope. Therefore we have a living daily hope in this life and beyond the grave. Amen. So Father, we pray this morning. Oh, we thank you that there is hope for in the heart of every spirit-filled believer as we catch the scent of your promises through your word. As we look to 2021, and there is certainly much we don't know. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we put our trust and our hope in you and your promises. We ask you to be faithful to us, to bring forth life and fruit again, revive our faith and hope, we pray. Perhaps there's someone listening this morning, you're not a Christian or not, you're not sure of your salvation. We know that many from different places stumble on the broadcast or tune in and listen. Oh, please hear this. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God desires to give a new beginning. Look to him, even in this moment, and say, oh, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you, my trust in you as my Savior, that you would save me right now by your grace through faith. Thank you for the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lead me in my relationship, my walk with you, and bless each one. I pray for the PEFC family, this local church family. I pray for each one, some who have extended family members and people that they know, loved ones who maybe have the virus or recovering or going through difficult times in isolation. Oh, we pray for our church family and their extended families, for each one. Give great grace and protection and healing, we pray, and blessings. I close with a prayer for your blessings for each one in 2021. Oh, Lord, we ask that, we believe that, and in you we have hope. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and Happy New Year.